it's been really a blessing for our ministry. We do many, many things, being a small church, but I think we reach out to a lot of people. And so I just wanted to get the chance to thank your congregation for that. And for those who have come, I hope that you can recruit more people for July. And I would love for more people to come and learn about our ministry. And that's why I come too, because I want to learn more about what you're doing here. And so I invite all of you to think about taking a little time in the first week of July and see if you can come with us to Cristo Rey. I think at this time it's more important than ever to have our partners come and see us and be supportive as our ministry, our congregation, has gone through a lot of changes and a lot of fear lately. And so the more we have partners that come and bring us support, I think that says a lot to our congregation. So a little bit of the background of the text for the first lesson in Isaiah. In 734 before Christ, the king of Assyria invaded the northern kingdom and conquered several cities in Israel. And he deported many people to Assyria, and Israel became a servant state. There were thousands of deaths, destruction of property, etc. The deportations of these tribes brought despair to their people. Their faith was really tested to the point where many thought that God might have abandoned them. They were in crisis because they were asking themselves if God had the power to free them from their time of darkness. They were having their worst times. Verse 2 says, they are now living in a very dark land. Others trusted that God would restore their nation under a new leader. They were waiting for a new king to come and save them, to bring hope and liberate them from their enemies. They wanted peace. The prophet Isaiah said that God would fulfill his promise to David and send another leader to them. Isaiah talks in the text today of a time to come when a great light will come and shine throughout the land now draped in darkness. This prophecy, of course, was fulfilled about 7 centuries later by Jesus. This was the worst times and the best times at the same time, for Israel. The prophet uses the words gloom, anguish, sadness, contempt, to describe the feelings of the people. These were the people that the text refers as the Galilee of nations, because many of them were non-Jews that lived in the area. They really needed the good news that the prophet was proclaiming. The same words also reflect the need of people today. Not only in my community, but in our country in general, in our world. At Cristo Rey, we still have many members who are undocumented and live in fear and have been divided from their families due to our broken immigration system. At the end of September of this year, one of our first members of Cristo Rey was deported after being in this country for over 27 years. She came to this country running away from an abusive situation, trying to have a better life for her 3 babies. Her 3 kids attended our after-school program all the year since first grade until they graduated from high school. They were confirmed in our church. They're now, some of them have finished school. And they're all U.S. citizens, but the mother. One of her sons serves in the military. And he in the past had been able to ask for extensions for his mother every year so that she would stay one more year. But with things that are happening now, they're opening cases left and right. And so instead of giving her an extension, they told her she would be deported that day. And so now she's divided from her family. In January, our church decided to open its doors to receive asylum seekers. Since 2014, we have been experiencing this influx of unaccompanied minors and families from Central America coming and seeking and asking for refuge. We had experienced something similar during the most violent years in Juarez, Mexico, when people were running away from the violence between 2009 and 2012. This experience with the refugees has probably been the most humbling experience for us. We have heard many stories, some that we cannot tell. I will share one with you, a pastor from El Salvador, who came with his 10-year-old son running away from the gangs in El Salvador who raped his daughter. His story is different because he didn't come for economic reasons. He had a good job, he had a growing church, he had a new car, he had a really nice house. But the gang leader had been following his daughter often to school, until one day they were able to get her. So the pastor sent his wife and his daughter to the US asking for asylum. He paid somebody to bring them. The gang leader tried to kidnap his son because the gang leader was looking for the girl. So the father gave the car as a payment and some other valuables, and they came as well. The two stayed in our church, and the pastor was able to share with our congregants part of his story. The day after they left El Salvador, the gangs had gone into their home to kill them and left bullet holes everywhere in the house. He also told us some of the things that happened in the journey, especially in Mexico. Some things that I cannot share. And there's a lot of suffering that they go through in the way. And in that group, he was the only one that was treated humanely in the processing center because he had a card that said he was a pastor. They didn't take his phone. They didn't search him. They gave him a choice to what he wanted to eat, three choices of what he could eat for lunch. But the story was different for the others. The others, the first groups that we've had was the same story. They were given one burrito a day. They didn't heat up anything for them. Crackers in the morning and crackers at night. They slept on the floor because it wasn't at the detention center, it was just in a holding cell. And many of them said that they were not given enough blankets and they were really cold. The first groups were treated inhumanely. They were called dogs. They would tell them that they would be put in the freezers because they would put the air conditioning to the coolest. I dared to ask, because I visit the detention center very often, and I dared to ask one of the officers, is this true? We've been listening to these stories and we wonder, how come you are not giving them enough blankets when they're sleeping on the floor? Oh, he said, well, it's because sometimes at that facility, since it's not a detention center, we don't have enough blankets. And we put the air conditioning to the coolest, it's for health reasons. Because if they have a disease or something, then it's less likely that they would give it to somebody else if it's cold. I don't know what to believe. But I guess it is true that they were not given enough blankets. I didn't ask the other questions. The last groups that we've had have been treated better. They said that some of the officers now are actually saying, you know, I'm a Christian too, and I'm just doing my job, and I don't want to mistreat you. But this was just the last two groups. The Israelites were experiencing spiritual, economic, and physical oppression according to our text today. And this seems very familiar to many of our people nowadays. Many are walking in darkness, living without hope, feeling alone. Like our text says this morning, they are now living in a very dark land. They, like the Israelites, might want to lose hope in the goodness of God. According to our text, the people's oppressive experience produced a darkness of the soul. The expression deep darkness is the same word used in Psalm 23 when it says the valley of the shadow of death. And we live in a time when peace seems to be in such short supply. We are having conflict with our politics, with our beliefs, with our neighbors. We have conflicts with our own families. I have a member who didn't speak to her parents for a couple of months after the election. We even have conflict within ourselves. What is the answer? What do we do? I've been asking that myself, and maybe some of you too. Brothers and sisters, what I can tell you is that God's love is bigger than any politics. God's love is bigger than religion. God's love is bigger than any rules and barriers put by humans. We as Lutherans say we follow the theology of the cross. I've studied that at seminary. I always wonder, though, if we practice it. We're really good at saying that we follow that theology. A theology of the cross finds God in Jesus with the least and the lost and the suffering. How does this way of saying and speaking shape the way we live our lives as Lutherans? In 2013, when I was with you, I remember talking about the leprosy of the Old Testament, and then saying that the leprosy of the New Testament was the discrimination against the foreigners, the slaves, the lepers, and the women. The first religious exercise of fundamentalist Pharisees in biblical times was to thank God that they were not born in any of the four following categories. They prayed like this: I thank you, God, that I was not born a foreigner, a slave, a leper, or a woman. Did you know that? I thought, really, when I came to this country, I came to find my voice as a woman. My mom and my dad are both pastors, but my mom always had to be under a man pastor. She could never be a senior pastor. So when I came to the States, I thought that we were better. And I think I'm wrong. We still suffer from discrimination against immigrants, foreigners, against women, against people of color, against those who are different from us. We still treat people like slaves when we steal their wages or pay them less than the minimum because they're undocumented, or hold them against their will. The respect for women in this country is going backwards right now. I never thought I was going to be worried about my three girls. Worried about my immigrant community that lives in constant fear. Worried for us who are not considered white. Worried for those who have a different religion or are from certain countries we do not consider worthy of our welcome. Our country is worried about many things right now. natural disasters, huge amounts of people seeking asylum, the killings of innocent people by people who are not supposed to have guns. We have many things that we worry about. We really need the good news of Christ. We really need that light. Jesus was born among people who were despised and who had no hope, and Jesus is the hope of the hopeless. The light that was shining upon the people was a symbol of life, salvation, and joy. Something happened in those days that produced hope in their lives of people, and that hope was reflected in their great joy. That hope was going to be a baby. All of them rejoiced in what God was doing. The reason for the great joy among the people, as I said, was the birth of a child. The reference to the son that was born is a reference to the enthronement of a new king. The people really needed a new king, a new person. Somebody that would be called Wonderful Counselor. This title expresses the wisdom required to the king to guide, of the king to guide and direct his people. Jesus was our Wonderful Counselor. If we just follow what he did, we would be in better shape. He is called the Mighty God. This title refers to the power and the fullness of God the king needed to defend and protect his people. Jesus always defended those who had no voice. Everlasting Father. This title refers to the king as the one who guided his people with fatherly love, in the same way God loves and cares for his people. Prince of Peace. This title reflects the king as the one who brought wholeness to everyone, leading them to find their destiny in the fullness of God. In the deep darkness appear a wonderful light. I have experienced that as well with the refugees. Hearing their stories, I thought that they would not believe in a God. Yet I was wrong. Sometimes they pray in their own language, the ones that don't speak Spanish. And we ask them to pray in their own native language. And when they pray, you can feel the Holy Spirit. You cry sometimes, just listening to their prayers. You don't understand what they're saying, but you know that God is present with them. In the midst of the worst times, people can experience Christ, the light of Christ, and that makes a huge difference. We are people of light. We are believers in Christ. Therefore, we cannot give up. We cannot say there is nothing that we can do, because we are the light of Christ in the world. In this world that has a lot of darkness, we need to be people of light. We are to live as children of light. So if you've been feeling like I did for a little time, you know, I felt like abandoned or anguished or confused. We have somebody that has changed many lives over 2,000 years and more. And that is Christ. So let's hold on to that light and to that faith so that we can be people of hope for others and bring that light to others. We are to bring light to those who are living in darkness. There is a verse in the Bible in Matthew 5 that says that we are the salt and the light of the world. Being the salt of the earth is the influence that you have over other people's lives to season and preserve for eternal life. Jesus is that light that can get you out of the dark place in which you live. He is able to give you the light of life. It does not matter how big your sin or your problem is. People are living in fear because of what's happening nowadays. And this is the opportunity to shine the light so people will not be afraid. This is the opportunity for us to be the light of Christ in the world. We are called to have friendships and to witness to our friends. The light of Christ is to be seen. There is no such thing as secret Lutherans, okay? That has ended. We are more multicultural now, we're a little more daring. We need to be a light at all times. Light shines not so much that people may see the light as that they may see other things because of the light. Our light shines not that people will be attracted to us, but to the light of Jesus Christ. For some of the religious people in Jesus' time, they were more worried about the rules than love and compassion. We people of the New Testament, we have the commandment, love your God above all things, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. In the last 20 years of my ministry at Cristo Rey, I have learned how to be gray. I used to be black and white when I came from Bolivia. I wasn't Lutheran in Bolivia, so I came from a church that was very black and white. I'm all gray, and God is okay with that. The experience of crossing borders and being the light of Christ in the world is important in understanding who we are as a church and how we respond to our neighbors, how we respond to the stranger. Now more than ever, our churches need to preach the truth, need to stand up against discrimination and hate. We need to be the light of Christ in the midst of this darkness that we're living. We are all brothers and sisters. Contrary to what we hear on the news, my experience with Mexicans, I'm from Bolivia, so that's what I'm saying, you know, my experience with the Mexican culture, I have encountered people like Cristo Rey that are hardworking people who come to this country looking for a piece of that bread. People who share the little that they have with the refugees. People who support each other when crises arise. People who like eating together a lot. People who are honest, people who have taught me that faith can be real and genuine. People that believe in the providence of God. We all have crossed many kinds of borders in our lives, but crossing borders in our churches these days has to do with our neighbors from Mexico, from our neighbors from Central America. It has to do with the future of the 800,000 dreamers. It has to do with millions who are invisible people in our society, the undocumented, the foreigners. And sometimes those kind of themes that we talk about make us uncomfortable. Jesus already crossed all kinds of borders for you. He came to be the light of the world. How can we do not dare cross borders with him to bring his light to others? What we have is not because we deserve it, but because there are gifts that bring us into relationship with others and with God, who reach beyond the boundaries we make. So let us follow Jesus' example. People of Faith Lutheran Church, go eat with sinners. Go talk to the strangers. Go eat some Bolivian food. There's a lot of Bolivian food around here. Touch the unclean lepers of your society. Heal on the Sabbath, you know, like you're having service here today. It's fine. It's great. Treat women with equality and respect. Defend the rights of the invisible people of your time. And share your bread with those who are hungry, those who are different from you. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. To Jesus, hospitality meant acceptance, even those who in his society and his day were deemed to be unacceptable. This is why he put his arms around lepers, ate with tax collectors and sinners, forgave adulterers, and broke the Sabbath rules. Hospitality was not only important to Jesus, it was at the very heart of being God, and it didn't make any difference to him where such hospitality took place or to whom or in what day. So my brothers and sisters, let us be the light, let us be the salt of the earth for our brothers and sisters, and let us not lose faith because we have the most powerful light in the world and the light of Christ within us. We have His Spirit. We just need to be bold in faith and act and do what He teaches us to do.